Turn with me to John chapter 14, starting at verse 8. I want you to see that being a father is something that's eternal. It's not temporary. God is our Father forever. There's not going to be a time that he's not your daddy. And whether we dwell on the earth or whether we are in the presence of God, we know my dad welcomes me. He says, come boldly to the throne of grace. Boldly. That's what a daddy does. I remember when my kids were small and my office is over here, and you know, when folk would want to come talk to me, they would knock on the door, ask, can I get a word with you? Can I talk with you? But my children would just come on in. Dad, I need your money. Dad, you know, I want this. Because usually, you know, a child is what you want. It's not what you need, what you want. And they would say, Dad, I want this, or Dad, I want that. But they could come boldly into my presence because they were my children. Now, we taught them discipline. We taught them there's a right and wrong way to do things, that maybe I'm in a conference or talking to someone and, hey, wait a minute, you need to wait for me. But they knew that wasn't a rebuke. That was just for the sake of order or something. There's something they didn't need to hear. Well, God wants us to be the same way. God, actually, the same way children that are grown now, of course. Remember how when you were a child, your dad would come home from work and you'd run to the door, just wrap your arms around his legs, and daddy's home, daddy's home. God wants you to approach him that way. Yeah. Jesus said, you know, except we be as a child. Are you excited to wrap your arms around Jesus? See, a lot of us want God to wrap his arms around us. But are you happy to wrap your arms around him and say, daddy's home, daddy's home? So fatherhood is eternal. Then every earthly father, you represent God to your family in this earth. You are not the ultimate dad. There comes a time in marriage. The Bible says that a man would do what? That he would leave his father and his mother and cleave him to his wife. We understand there is a leaving, but that never applies to God. That applies to your earthly father. So here we have a scenario in John chapter 14, verse 8, where Philip says to Jesus, he says, Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father. Now, I think that's an interesting request, because he didn't say, Jesus, Lord, tell me about the Father. There's a difference between telling somebody about someone and showing them. Because I can tell you about somebody I'm not close to, but I can't necessarily show you someone I'm not close to. And Philip asked this question, hey, show us, all of us, we want to know. Just don't tell us about Abba. Show us. It's almost like someone's asking you a question. Don't tell me what it's like to be a Christian. Show me
That's
how to be a Christian. Or show me what does a Christian look like.
Yeah.
I mean, you see the difference? And if I can show you, then I'm the real deal. Now, I cannot be the real deal and tell you.
That's good.
Because, see, a sinner can preach the gospel. John 3:16, people will get born again because the word of God is not void of power, does not fall to the ground and has no effect. So a sinner can take God's word, because he reigns on the just and the unjust. His word is true, whether it's to a believer or an unbeliever. What it just come down with us is just a matter of choice. I choose to follow, I choose not to. But God reigns on the just and the unjust. And so a person can get up here and preach, be in a pulpit, have a title around their neck, and tell the people about him and never know him. And if I don't know him, I can't show him to you. Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. I want to show you something. Matter of fact, I want, as a believer, I want to show you something. I just don't want to tell you. I want to show you. Jesus said to him, because Jesus had an odd way of answering a question. He would answer a question with a question. Now, I don't know, in your own personal time with him, and you've asked God about something, or you've asked God about a situation, or you asked God about this, you asked God about that, and God's response to you was not an answer. God's response to you was another question. And he said, Jesus said to him, have I been with you this long? See, everything that God does is a challenge. You want me to show you my daddy? Let me answer your question with a question. Haven't I been with you this long? See, I'm taking you somewhere where you should be. See, you can't stay a baby Christian, because a baby Christian is either someone who just got born again, or is someone who has been in church for 30 years, but the Bible says is unskillful in the word. And I want to take you, that person that's been sitting in the pew for 20 years, I want to challenge you, so I'm going to answer your questions with questions. Because I'm trying to pull you away from diapers. Paul, who many believe wrote the epistle to the Hebrews, he says, listen, some of you should have been teachers by now, but you still need milk, not because you're just getting born again, but you're still unskillful, even though you've been in God for a season. So Jesus says, have I been with you so long, or this long, and yet you, I'm giving you my, this is my phrases, and yet you have not known me. Wait a minute, he didn't ask anything about Jesus. He said, Jesus, show us the Father. Haven't I been with you this long? Have you not known me? He didn't ask to know him. He asked, what is the message? The Father and I, be like this. If you have been with me, if you had seen me, you would know. If you have seen me, hey, you saw the daddy. I am his spitting image. You don't have to be concerned about seeing someone else. If I'm a Christian, hey man, you've seen Jesus. I'm a living epistle to be read of men. The Bible's supposed to be in me. It's supposed to be, it dictates my lifestyle. It dictates my decisions. You want to know what it's like to be a Christian? God says, you don't need to see me floating around. You're looking for something like this in the movies. You want to see something mystical? You want a show? Look at my people. We're supposed to be representatives of God in the earth. It's called the body of Christ. And we are supposed to represent the daddy, because we represent something bigger than myself. I represent my biological dad. He's with the Lord now. But when I was a child, sometimes people's mindset or attitude toward the family was based on how the children acted. People say, well, the children acted wild, but the parents must be wild. See, I represented more than just me. You know how it is when you're young. When I was young, let me back up. I'm not talking about you. Talk about me. When I was young, I thought I knew everything when I was 16 years old. I mean, there's nothing else to learn. I mean, what is there to learn? I got my driver's license. Man, I'm grown now. Because my dad said that's for identification purposes only. But I thought it meant, I thought getting that driver's license meant, oh yeah, I can dictate to my, I remember going to my dad asking for the car to go to a party in church here. My dad, I only asked him one time. You can imagine what the response was. I learned a lesson. He had to teach me but once. He didn't have to teach me twice. And it wasn't just his words. It was his eyes. Like, you ain't driving my car.
That's right.
But my dad gave me one look and I said, yes, sir. So much for that. I guess I'm about to get on GRTC. Didn't take much. Haven't you been with me? He goes on to say, have I been with you so long, and yet thou have not known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father? He's really challenging. I'm going to ask you a question. And when God asks you a question, he demands a response. You can't go silent on God. You know, you talk to a child sometimes and say, why did you do what you did? They say, I don't know. They do know. Make them talk. See, a good thing for parents to learn, you know, especially if you have small children and they do something wrong, don't stand over top of them. Get on your knees. Look at them eyeball to eyeball. Then ask them this question. Why did you do what you did? Because you need to know how they think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because if they don't think they did something wrong, you can spank them, but that pain goes away. You can chastise. Yeah, thank you. You know how I know that? I have experience.
Yeah.
Okay, I ain't talking just off the top of my head. There was this young guy, you know, that you can't imagine this now, your pastor. That my mom and my daddy would tell me and scold me and spank me. Yes, it wasn't abuse. And for some reason, man, when that pain wore off, I forgot about the spanking. And as soon as I was out of eyesight and hearing, and you know what I did? Went right back to it. But there was still a rebel in me. That's not what I'm preaching on today, so I won't spend a whole lot of time on that. Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak by my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the works. Somebody, when you're talking the Bible, when you're living the Bible, God is speaking through you to others. Let him use you. Take no thought for what you say. Jesus sent out his disciples about two or three. Take no thought of what you're going to say. Don't worry about the money. Don't take a script. Don't take something written down. You know, a written down prophecy. God, thus saith the Lord. No, let me talk through you. Because if I talk through you, I could come down on a human level. I ain't talking to you. I don't need to speak the King James English. You know, language is big time. God knows how to get through to every language. You name it, God can get through to it. And he wants to use us. Now, six people in the Bible that gives us a picture of what a father should be and what a father should do. Because in God, it's all about the doing. And it's not working for your salvation. The Bible says work out your salvation with fear and trembling. The first one is Noah. Noah obtained admission to his whole family by his relationship with God. His whole family, I say, that included his son-in-laws. Believe it or not, they married themselves into the ark. Just because they were related to Noah. See, the Bible talks about a home. And Paul said, if there be one sanctified person, he says, if the husband's not saved, but the wife is saved, he says, that one saved person sanctifies the whole house. Look at your family. Hey, are you born again? You say, can I sanctify my family? God was going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. But Abraham said, look, there'd be 10 righteous, there'd be 100 righteous, there'd be 90 righteous, there'd be 80. Come on down to 10. There'd be 10 righteous. Will you spare? You know what God did? He spared. Because the one person relationship, that's why you should never give up on people. And fathers, you should never give up on your children, never give up on your family, not just your children. And if you're a spiritual father, you may be a father to your cousin. You may be a father to a nephew. You may be a father to, you never give up. God says, I will sanctify them, not being saved, but I will keep them. Because of your relationship. I will keep your children. Yes, you train up a child and with it as you go, but you got to be righteous.
Yeah.
Sometimes people do stray, but I'll keep them even in their sin because of your relationship with me. But that's good. Noah's family got into the ark. Those folk were laughing at Noah. What was it, 120 years?
Yeah.
And they're laughing at Noah. Well, rain coming. What's rain? We ain't never seen rain. We just seen this mist that's on the ground. We never, what, it fall out of the sky? We never seen no water coming out of the sky. Then you don't know it's going to rain. You building a what? And then for 120 years, he had nobody join his church.
Right.
He preached. The rain is coming. The judgment is coming. The rain is coming. Nobody join him. After 120 years, one drop fell. And then another fell. And then a 2 and 4 and 8. And 16 and 32 and 64 and on and on and on. And for 40 days and 40 nights. We got a little taste of it in one day. What was that? Friday? Was it Friday? Fed a downpour. I pulled a car over and stopped. Actually, it was the Lord speaking to my wife. He said, you need to pull over. Even though I could hardly see the little white line, but you know how men are. I can see the road. Blinkers going like this. And I got it. I got my license. I can see. My said, you think you need to pull over? No, I got it. And so finally I heard the voice of the Lord say, that is a right aid. Just hold on over there until the rain. Noah obeyed God and saved his whole family. You listen to me, dads. You have a responsibility for the salvation of your home. And it's not by knowing history. And it's not by the abundance of information. It is about your relationship with God. So that when the rains come, the circumstances of life, because life is going to happen. When the circumstances of life hit your home, you are the one. You're the rock. You're the woman. I talked to you a couple of weeks ago. I'm going to get to it in a couple of weeks again. I'm just standing that you're flat footed for your family.
Yeah. Yeah.
Adam should have learned that lesson. He had the power and the authority to say, devil, serpent, you had no right to speak to my wife. So Noah's the first one. Genesis. I'm not going to read some of the scripture. You can look at it for your homework. But it's in Genesis chapter 7, verse 1. Second one, Abraham. Talking about six people that are biblical examples of what a daddy should be and what a daddy should know. It all starts with I know in some circles that's a dirty word. Sanctification is not noise. Sanctification is separation.
Yeah.
I've been called out from this world. I'm in it, but I'm not of it. Number two, Abraham. The Bible tells us in Abraham and Genesis chapter 18, verse 17 and 18. For the sake of time, I can't read them all, but I'm going to read verse 19. God, you know, God, man, I wish I could preach this. You know what God called Abraham? My friend.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
the father of all them that believe. See, everybody that followed Abraham, he was the father of our faith. He was, God says, that's my friend. It's amazing the things that God has said to people. Moses, yeah, you Israelites, you know my acts, you know my history, you know the stuff I've done. But you know what, Moses?
Yeah.
Moses is a little bit deeper.
Because
he knows me. He knows my ways. He knows how I think. See, a son, a daughter can know their daddy, but they don't know how their daughter, they don't know how their daddy think. So you don't really know them. Fathers should know, hey man, what my children think. That's why I said, when you chastise a child, get on your knees and let me ask you, why did you do that when I told you not to? Because I want to see, where's your conscience? Because at some point you got to violate your own conscience to go against your dad. Can I get a yay, amen? And when a person sins against God, disobeys God, they got to go against the witness of their own conscience. And once you can go against the witness of your own conscience, you're in trouble. Because that means you're lying. You're not lying to people, you're lying to yourself. For I have known him. In order, God talking about Abraham, Genesis 18:19. For I know him in order that he may command his children and his household after him. Now that word command does not mean dictatorship, but it does mean there are layers of authority in business, in government, in church, and in family. There are layers of responsibility. And the responsibility I had, especially when the children were young, as a daddy, was to command my house, not dictate to my house, love my wife, love my children, and serve my wife and serve my children. But I also knew when there's danger, there comes a place to command. If the house on fire, we don't need a committee meeting. We don't need a family gathering. We don't need to gather around the dinner table and the house is burning down. We're going to discuss who's going to be in charge. Somebody has to command. Somebody has to be the captain of the ship that says, this thing's either it's sinking or it's on fire. This is how you get out, and I stay till the last one's out. Because I have that responsibility that if there's danger, it has to come through me first. And I have a responsibility to command my house to say, as for me, I'm going to talk about Joshua too. As for me, my house will serve the Lord. I have as a responsibility, I have a authority and right to command my house to say, this is what we're going to do in the sense of my relationship with God. We are going to serve the Lord. Well, I don't want to go to church. I ain't saying nothing about going to church. That's a part of it. But we are going to serve the Lord. This is what we do. And if you see me, I don't believe in God. Well, you see me, how can you? You don't believe I'm your dad? Because if you see me, just like Jesus said, if you see me, you see the Father. So you don't believe in God, so you don't believe in me. So I'm somebody that's invisible. You telling me you don't need me? Go discover America. Because if you see me, you've seen God.
Yeah.
Oh, can you, Dad, can y'all say that? Is that a by faith statement or is that a reality? Because a lot of stuff people talk about is by faith, meaning they ain't walking it. They're talking it, but they ain't walking it. I purpose to walk in it.
Amen.
I'm not going to tell you. I'm going to show you. Philip says, show us the Father, not tell us about the Father. There are many dads on Sunday morning, maybe this morning, telling their children about God, but they never showed them.
Hallelujah.
And a big reason they haven't showed them, you know why? How? They haven't treated their mama right. The women say some amen. I ain't getting nothing from these, nothing. And it got quiet. I don't let that quiet meter start dropping. The sound meter start going down. Children, look at how you treat their mama. Let me tell you something about people. The two things people will never forgive you of, generally speaking, how you treat their parents and how you treat their children. People don't like it. Treat my parents wrong? No, we're not going to be friends. Treat my children wrong? We're not going to be friends. We're not going to be acquaintances. I have a responsibility to I got to protect my wife. I got to protect my mom and dad, especially as they get older. I got to protect my children. I have a responsibility to do that. Because when they see me, I'm the picture of God to them until they come of age. Yes. Yes. Then I have to wean them off me. Yes. To say, now you must be born again. I can't sanctify you in the sense of a measure of God's protection when you know better. And coming of age is when you know. It's not a number. Some children know at 8. Some don't know till they're 18. Don't ask me why. They learn however they learn. Abraham commanded his house. He gave a picture of God through command. Okay, number 3, Joshua. Joshua, we know. Oh, matter of fact, hold on 1 second. I got one more thing I want to look at. Did I get that? Okay, I got it. Okay, I'm good. Joshua, which is an Old Testament name for Jesus, they both need the same thing. God saves. Your name should give people a picture of who you are in God. That's why he's going to change your name in eternity. Yeah. Guess what? You might love your name on earth, but it's going to get changed. Matter of fact, you may like your body on the earth, as good as your body may look, God's going to change it. He's going to, the thing that you think is so handsome and so good looking is going back to the dust. It's going back to the ground. God says, I'm going to give you something new. I'm going to give you a new body. I'm going to give you something new. We talked about Noah. We talked about Abraham. Joshua. Joshua was a priest, prophet, and king. Just like Jesus. Under the Old Testament, many of you know, because I've taught on this, see, the office of the priest and the king was separated. You couldn't be a priest and a king at the same time. Then in the New Testament, the Bible says it was rejoined because God, the Bible says now, says in the New Testament, we have been made kings and priests. And as a father, like Joshua, we should walk in those three areas, as a priest, as a prophet, and as a king. As a priest, I bring God's will, his word, his ways to my family. No, excuse me. I take the needs of my family to God as a priest in intercession. As a prophet, I take God's word to my family. Who's feeding your children spiritual things? It can't be a Christian school, as good as Christian schools are. It can't be Sunday school. All those things just supplant. The first church, every dedication I do, every children's dedication, what do I say? Especially to the man. The first church that your child knows is the home. The first shepherd, the first pastor, the first teacher that they'll ever know is not in public school, is not in church school, it is in the home. The first priest they'll know is in the home. The first prophet they'll know is in the home. And the first king they'll know is in the home. If you are waiting for the church to do it all, What you're saying is, to some measure, you have walked away from your responsibility. We, my wife and I, did not send our children to church. We took them. And it was very important for my children to see that Daddy went. Daddy got up Sunday morning without complaint. Can I get an amen? I don't know. I may hit a nerve with me. See, may hit a nerve with them with Reverend Tom. I think I need to back up on it. You know, might be somebody here. They're here, but they came with complaint. Oh Lord, why I got to go to church? Why we got? Why do men up there singing? When is it going to be? Oh, Pastor, you going to be over? You got, all right, Bishop, you got 7 minutes, boy. 11, 15, you supposed to be done. I'm supposed to be done when I finish. Oh, don't worry. Let y'all know. I'm not lying. Bishop Moon will be here next Sunday.
Amen.
So we're going to have to change our whole service. Because if you in the flesh because of me, and I'm ending 11, 15, I got news for you. You probably going to be in sin by the time you get to church next Sunday.
Amen.
Cause you know I'm gonna give them all this time.
That's
I don't put. See, that's my mental. I don't put restrictions on my daddy.
That's right.
No, I don't. When we go in my office, Bishop Boone sits in my seat. I give up John the Baptist. Well, when Jesus showed up, I must decrease. I decrease.
Yes.
He sits in my chair. He preaches as long as he want to preach. After service, he asks Bishop where you want to go. And sometimes Bishop don't want to go to McDonald's. Just let you know. So if you want to take Bishop Boone out to eat, I'm letting you know. It ain't going to be Burger King. Now, he said this. You can't take him to Golden Corral. Because he loves Golden Corral. I wouldn't take him, but, you know, he's the bishop. The bishop said, you want to go to Golden Corral. I guess we're going to Golden Corral. So Joshua, but listen to what it says, Joshua 24:15. And it says, and if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, how can, whew. Think about this. See, when I read the Bible, I get all these revelations. Why would anybody think it would be evil to serve God? I mean, think about it. Notice what the word is. And if it seems evil, not inconvenient, not bad timing, but evil to serve the Lord. Choose for yourselves tomorrow. Right, because the Bible says today. Today. God is always about today. He says, I am God. Who shall I say sent me? Moses said, tell him I am sent you. I'm always present tense. I'm not past tense. I'm not future tense. I am. I'm always present tense. And salvation is the same way. Salvation is always now. Because you don't know what's coming tomorrow. You don't know what's coming the next hour. You don't know what's coming the next minute. You don't even know what's coming the next second. Or that rain we got Friday, was that a tornado? And what was it? I mean, when you got to stop and pull over on the road, and it wasn't even that much traffic, but you still got to pull over and stop? You don't know what that is. Now, here we are, parked, just letting it pour. Can't even see out the windshield. We don't know what's going on around us. We can't see. Then he says, whether the gods which your father served that were on the other side of the river or the gods of the Amorites. You got a choice, people. Life is about choices. Life is about decisions. You better decide who you're going to serve. Because, see, you serve this world. You serve this flesh. You serve this flesh. Man, that's a taskmaster. The thing the world offers you to give you pleasure is the thing the world would use to destroy you.
Yeah.
I'm talking about it makes you feel good for a moment. A moment in time. I want to preach a message called A Moment in Time. For a temporary moment, something that makes you feel good will eventually destroy you. God did not ask you to come here this morning to feel good. He asked you to be good. You can't live off what you feel. It'll change with the wind. It'll change it based on how much money is in your pocket. It'll change that. One moment you got in your car this morning and started, you go out here in the parking lot, it won't stop. You can't go off what you feel. You got to go off what you believe. Okay, all right, let me keep reading this. I got to get through this. I got a few minutes. I appreciate that, Sister Addison. Really do. Nobody joins you, but thank you. But then it says, but as for me and my house, as for me first, individually, I got to take care of my home first. You know, my home is this. It's this physical body. As for me, Marvin Stewart Mason, the title does not decide salvation. As for me, I've decided I'm going to serve God. But I also have decided, because I'm a king, I can command my house like Abraham. Guess what? I'm deciding for my family. As for me and my family and my house, we are going to serve the Lord. And you better be determined to do it. Because once the word of God is sown, the devil comes immediately to steal it. He's coming for the word. He's coming for the seed. He's not coming for you. He's coming for that seed that's in you. Okay, you made the decision. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Then let me, okay, I'm going to see if you like Job. I'm going to go before God and make an accusation. Man, it's going to be false. But I tell you what, God. That Reverend Tom, okay, he big and bad up there singing, or you know how we do up there singing and all. Okay, tell you what, the only reason he's singing because you put a hedge of protection around him. He ain't serving you because he loves you. He's serving you because you keep him out of trouble. Tell you what, take that hedge away. Let trouble come, and he will curse you to your face. But the devil didn't stop there. The devil got in his wife. Why don't you curse God and die? Look at everything going on with you. You're sick, everything dying around us. Why don't you just curse God and die? Same thing the devil said, his wife said. As for me, we're going to serve the Lord. Now, Job wasn't perfect. God had to deal with him. Hey, Job, where were you when I set the stars in heaven? I mean, don't come telling me now, I'm God. You don't fix your dad. That's another thing. I didn't have this in my notes, but let me say this. You know, my dad and I, by the time I was probably out of high school, I knew more than him. I knew more than him just from an educational standpoint. You know, he went to high school, went to the Navy, working at Bellwood, they still call it that, in the General Supply Center down there, and you know, down Jefferson Davis Highway, was a foreman down there until he retired. But you know what, something I never did, Reverend Brown? I never corrected my dad.
Amen. See?
Not one time. I got born again in the word. I'm listening to Fred Price, Kenneth Copeland, Kenneth Hagin, Derrick Prince, Fred Price. I'm listening to the big boys. I'm getting teaching after teaching. Pastor Boone is my bishop. Man, I'm getting teaching after teaching after teaching. They never had all these Christian programs on television. From a biblical standpoint, my dad was a deacon. I knew far more than him, but I never thought I could correct him. Because he was my dad. The Bible says, show honor to whom honor is due. Don't you dishonor your parents. You may not know what you know. You may be smarter. You got more money. You got more of this. You got more of their cars. But I mean, you understand what I'm saying? But you, God, you know, don't dishonor God thinking you can correct God. See, God had to deal with Job. So the point being, Job wasn't perfect. God had to deal with him. But in the end, you know what God did? He doubled. Everything the devil said, I'm going to take, he doubled. He returned it back to him. even his children. Now, somebody, if you know the Bible, you say, oh, now, wait a minute now. He had what? Was it seven children? And wait a minute, seven children died, and he gave him seven more. So he didn't double them. Oh, yes, he did. Those seven that had died were with him.
That's right. Amen. Amen.
They weren't lost. So you can lose cattle. You can lose an animal. You can lose your house. And God says, I'll return to you another house.
Yes.
But your children, God says, no, they're with me.
Hallelujah.
You will always have them.
Yes.
If you come with me.
Yeah.
The real separation is eternal.
Yes.
Separation from me is the issue, not separation from a human being.
Yes.
Because if I'm born again and you're born again, it doesn't matter what circumstances happen here, we always going to be like that. As soon as we get up there in the pearly gates, and don't send me an email, I know there are no pearly gates. That's in the People's Bible. We're going to know each other. You won't be calling me Bishop. You'll be calling me by my new name. Okay, got to close. Give me 2 more minutes, I'm shutting down. Well, last one. Well, actually, it's 2 more, but there was a dad in Mark chapter 9 whose son was having some kind of seizure. Many Bible scholars believe it probably was epilepsy, something like that. And this dad interceded for his son with Jesus. Let me read this real quick, because I got to call him and shut down. Then one of the crowd answered and said, teacher, I brought you my son who has a mute spirit. Now, I think that's New King James. I think the King James said a dumb spirit. I don't necessarily like that, but you know, but I understand what it says there. It's verse 18. And wherever, and wherever he sees, and wherever he seizes him, he throws him down, he foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth, and becomes rigid. So I spoke to your disciples, your friends, that they should cast him out, but they could not. He answered and said, O fair this generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him to me. Who did he go to first? And they should have been able to. And Jesus told them why. O faithless generation. Now, this is dealing with spiritual fatherhood, because remember, Jesus will eventually appoint his disciples as apostles, and they will be the fathers of the faith. They still had to learn. Let me keep reading. Then they brought him to him, and he saw him immediately, and the spirit convulsed him. He fell on the ground and wallowed, foam at the mouth. So he asked his father, how long has this been happening to him? And he said, from childhood. And after he had thrown him into the fire, into the water to destroy him. But if you can't do anything, have compassion on us and help us. This is the dad interceding for his son. And Jesus said to him, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. Immediately the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. See, a true dad understands. I don't know everything.
Yes.
And sometimes I got to ask God for his help. But I'm interceding for my son. Every place you see, I challenge you, do this study on your own. Every place you see, in the 3 places where the Bible talks about great faith, the Bible talks about no faith, all the way to great faith, little faith, childlike faith, great faith. And every place you see where God acknowledges great faith is somebody asking for somebody else. You can't find one scripture. I will challenge you. I got some money in my pocket. I'll give you all the money in my pocket. Go and do your search. Get your phone out. Do your search. Get you some money today. Prove me wrong.
Amen.
Every place where God acknowledges great faith is somebody interceding for somebody else. It's never somebody going to God for themselves. That's what a daddy's supposed to do.
Mm-hmm.
Praying for my family. Let me be last. Even if I'm in unbelief, my faith is wavering. Maybe I don't have enough faith to believe for this, but I'm praying for my son. praying for my daughter. So even in my unbelief, help me. Now, for the sake of time, I can't go through the rest of it. But y'all know what Jesus did, right? Jesus saw this man, acknowledge his unbelief, but he said, help me. In other words, he didn't put a game on. He didn't try to fake Jesus out. Hey, man, my son is having convulsions. Help us. Jesus healed that boy. Because a dad, even with limited faith, said, help my son. Don't give me a house. Don't give me a boat. Don't give me a car. Don't give me a new wife. I got to close. Time gone. I ain't finished. You know that. And since Bishop Boone will be here next Sunday, I'll be off next Sunday. So I don't know what I'm doing myself. But we got to go home. If you don't know the Lord, he knows you. And the only thing that's separating you from him and him from you is not love. Because he loves you. But this thing called sin. And it's nothing you've done. In the sense of you were born with something. It's like a sickness. You're born with something. You had no say in it. You didn't decide, okay, I want to be born in sin and in iniquity. One person caused all this. One man who fell short caused all this. ISIS, terrorism, you name it. All of these things are caused by a three-letter word called sin. Separation from God. But here's the good news. And that the word gospel means good news. Here's the good news. God has a remedy. He's got an answer. He's got an antidote for your poison. The poison is in you. He's got an antidote. It's in a man, and it's in a man's name. The power of a name. The power of a name. This name can drive out devils. This name can raise the dead. This name can heal the sick. This name can deliver you from demonic spirits. This name can make you prosperous in the Lord. This name can restore you to your Creator. Is not a religious name. His name is Jesus. It's a reality. And all you have to do is make a choice. All you have to do is make a decision. Don't worry about what you might lose. Don't worry about who's around you, what people are going to think. They're always going to be naysayers. Remember, they crucified him. With everything that Jesus did, the flesh's response was crucify him. He did nothing but good, and bad happened. All of us, you may be the best person in the world, and you're wondering, why do bad things happen? Bad things happen to the best of the best. That cross was a bad thing. Him being whipped and beaten was a bad thing to a good person who did nothing but good. So I'm not giving you life with no problems. I'm not going to say everything's going to disappear. I'm not going to say money's going to flow now. I don't know what God's will is for you. Because it may be totally different than it is for me. I do know this. You'll be better off.
Yes, Lord.
You can make eternity your home. God give you a new name, give you a new body, give you a new home. You never have another mortgage. You never have to go to the doctor. There'll be no emergency rooms. You will be in perpetual health all the days of your life. But it still comes down to a decision.